बंदे रूप सनातन रघु जग श्री जीव गोपाल को।
See, Anga Maharaj says, to have a good son is better to have a bad son. Better than to have a bad son. Because the bad son, Chanakya says, what is the use of having a foolish son who is neither educated nor a devotee? Such a son is useless. Better to have a good son. So good son is one who is a devotee of the Lord or a wise man, educated man, learned man. And then Anga says, no, it is better to have a bad son than a good son, he says. Why? Because a bad son bestows detachment, he says. And then therefore I could leave everything and go to forest and become, follow the path of pure devotional service to Krishna. So you will find all through Srimad Bhagavatam, this is one underlying thing, that we should always see things in relation to Supreme Lord and not from a comfort point of view or convenience point of view. Is it good to have a body with good health or a body with bad health? If you see, if I have good health and I become complacent in spiritual life, is it good? On the other hand, if you are little sickly, you can't eat anything and everything, you have some restriction. And then you become fully focused in spiritual life. There are devotees having so many complications in their body. One devotee was telling, I am supposed to die 4 years ago. But there are devotees who are still alive. And even doctors don't know how their body is pulling on. There are people like that. So they say that I count every day as a bonus day Krishna has given. So they are working on becoming more and more Krishna conscious. So a devotee does not fear bad health. A devotee does not fear a bad son. A devotee does not fear, material failures. As long as those things bring one closer to Krishna's lotus feet. This should be the criteria with which we should see. And why Krishna does what he does with everybody, he only knows. If Krishna sees that some devotee may become captured by material impediments in approaching me, and my devotee is weak, he is not able to overcome the material impediments on his own. So Krishna has to do either one out of the two. One is keep the material impediments with the devotee and strengthen the inner willpower of the devotee to overcome the impediments on his own. Correct, no? Or remove the impediments and give the devotee taste of his own lotus feet. Swacharanamrita diya vishaya bulaiva. So either one Lord can do, and he knows what is best for the devotee. So the most amazing thing is the devotees who are pure devotees like Parikshit, they never misunderstand the Lord. They are able to see the difficult situations that come in a devotee's life. We call them difficult because from a material point of view they are difficult. But a devotee doesn't blame the Lord for being put in some awkward situations. Therefore, we are given the heading, Lord creates an awkward situation for taking a pure devotee back home. So Lord creates an awkward situation for taking a pure devotee back to Godhead. Or Supreme Lord creates a situation to detach his devotee from worldly affairs. See, there could be many possibilities. Like in Bali Maharaj's case, he was becoming a little proud of his proprietorship. And in Indra's case, Lord sometimes may put Indra in a situation of difficulty also, when he becomes materially attached also, or a devotee becomes proud. So that is one reason why the Lord may punish a devotee. We can use the word punish also, that the Lord wants to cleanse the anartha in the heart of the devotee. Because Lord doesn't like, see, Krishna is called as a jealous lover. Jealous lover means he doesn't want the devotee to get distracted by material commodities and make his love for Krishna very restricted. Lord knows if these material attractions are removed from my devotee's life, then he can love me wholeheartedly and I can also reciprocate with him wholeheartedly. See, even in this world, when a boy and a girl love, they both of them leave their home and run away. You've seen that sometimes, and they don't carry anything. They leave everything to wind and they go to some faraway place, and he may have to work hard and make her happy. There are people. So people, even in this world, in love affairs, they are ready to give their, you know, body, their mind, their words, their whole existence. You can see that. Of course, that's not going to take them to any higher destination. But the idea is, yeah, Krishna wants us to also do our devotional service without any reservations or restrictions or any strings attached. Like one should not, like Parikshit Maharaj, he was in a mood of controlling the Kali, keeping Kali under bay, not letting Kali flourish. And Parikshit Maharaj also, as a Kshatriya, was going around the world to make sure that the dharma is being followed, correct, no? Following the footsteps of Yudhishthira Maharaj, Arjuna and everybody like that. Then the Lord also thought that if Parikshit goes on continuing like this, then how can Kali Yuga begin? Kali by nature has to be a degraded age. Kali has to be given his places to live. So the Lord thought, now it is time for Parikshit to return back to Godhead. And I want him back. But then his birth was glorious because, you know, Krishna personally protected him. His life was glorious because he instituted, you know, Bhagavata Dharma in the life of everybody. And also he subdued Kali very chivalrously. And now I will make his death also glorious by showing the world how the king of the world is going to the bank of Ganges wearing only a loin cloth and sitting and listening for 7 days on Srimad Bhagavatam and going back to Godhead. Let people in Kali Yuga take inspiration from whom? From Parikshit, to listen to Srimad Bhagavatam, from his enthusiasm, from his eagerness, from his detachment. So he detached from being the king of the world, he detached everything to simply being like a beggar. And you know, he actually put the dead snake in Samikrishi's neck due to the thirst for water. But now 7 days he heard without drinking water or eating food or sleep. There is one shloka also he says that, you know, I don't have kshut or pipas, thirst or hunger. That is also to show the readers of Bhagavatam Parikshit's exalted position from which we should take inspiration. And also Lord wanted Bhagavatam to be left behind before he left for the spiritual world. Otherwise the Kali Yuga will be submerged in darkness. So one should understand, like you remember we read in that Kalaka Sarvam Kalakritam Manye Bhavatam Chaida Priyam Sapalo Yad Vasheloko Vayori Vaganavali. For the Karmis, it's Vayori Vaganavali. Like the cloud is being pushed by the wind. That is for Karmis. But for the devotees, Kala cannot affect the devotees. Supreme Lord orchestrates the devotees. The Supreme Lord calls the devotees and requests them to enact the drama. You play this role, you play that role. Therefore, the subsequent verse is, it said, Yatra Dharma Sutho Raja Gadapani Vrukodaraha Krishnostri Gandivam Chapam Suhrid Krishna Stato Vipat. Even though Krishna himself was siding with Pandavas, and Bhima and Arjuna were powerful by their chivalrous talent, and Yudhishthira Maharaj was powerful by religious principles and spiritual principles. Nakula Sahadeva were very good strategy planners. With all these things, the Pandavas suffered in the forest for 12 years. It's only by arrangement of Krishna. So here also, read further the purport. Lord wanted to enact the great Mahabharata war for Paritrana Sadhuvanam Vinashati Dushkram Dharma Samstapana Arthe for that. Take the mic. See, Maharaj Parikshit, Prabhupada says, the Supreme Lord is so kind to his pure devotees that in proper time he calls such devotees up to him and thus creates an auspicious circumstance for the devotee. Maharaj Parikshit was a pure devotee of the Lord. And there was no reason for him to become extremely fatigued, hungry and thirsty. Because the devotee of the Lord never becomes perturbed by such bodily demands. I'll show you one verse. 16:24, the Uttama Bhagavata section. Now, sorry, here is saying, no, not this one. I have to get something from the 11th canto, similar verse. The 11th canto, yeah, this one, yeah. No, not this one. One more verse. This is the one. This is the verse, correct. This is the verse. Let's repeat this verse. Dehendriya prana mano dhyamyo. Janma, and this is 11:49. Janmapyayakshut bhayatar shakrachraihi. Samsara dharmairavi muhyamanaha. Smritya harer bhagavata pradhanaha. We'll read this translation. Yeah. Because Parikshit Maharaj was a pure devotee, he was not subjected to hunger and thirst, and his mind was not anxious, his intelligence did not hanker for anything material. So he was beyond all these things. Okay. Now read the purport further.
Just to clear the situation, they were going to implementation of the bodily activity. One has to give up all attachment for bodily relation before one is able to go back to God.
Yeah, here it appears, see Prabhupada saying, he was apparently fatigued and thirsty just to create a situation favorable for his renunciation of worldly activity. And the Prabhupada says, we should give up attachment for all worldly relations, which makes us think, maybe that fellow was having little attachment, to wife, children, family and everything, it appears. But actually, Prabhupada very clearly says in several purports that he was not materially attached, Parikshit, he was a pure devotee. In fact, out of his humility, he says that maybe that Supreme Lord has arranged this type of quitting the world for me because I was attached to my kingship and my, family and relationships. Like that, who says that? So just because Parikshit says, we should not believe in his words. I think he's admitting, you see, you should not think like that. Like our Bhishma Pitamaha is saying to Draupadi, I think you are laughing at me because how can a fallen person like me speak on dharma? Because I have eaten the salt of Duryodhana. Therefore, you are laughing, correct? Like that he says. And then he says, the arrows of Partha piercing my body have removed all my impure, sinful blood. Therefore, probably Krishna must have considered me now eligible now. Because my blood is gone. Because after eating food, it turns into blood, no? The blood that is formed by the food eaten from the hands of Duryodhana is now gone by Partha's arrows. So I have become purified. Therefore, Dharmaraj is coming and asking me principles of Dharma, I think. So, like that he says, are these having any element of truth? No. Bhishma Pitama was never rendered impure. He was always like a lotus in the midst of Kichad, untouched by the Asat Sabha of the Kauravas. So, when great souls declare something out of humility, one should know it is due to their humility. Just like our Kaviraj Goswami, what he says, if you take my name, all your pious credits will be finished. Correct, no? I am more fallen than Jagai and Madai. Like one boy was asking, Guruji, why is he saying more fallen than Jagai and Madai? He also was like them before, he was asking. I said, hey, never, He's saying out of humility. Therefore, sometimes if somebody is declaring humbly, very great souls, people who are not yet properly situated devotees, they can't understand. They can get more bewildered, isn't it? So, similarly, although Parikshit says that I am materially attached, Lord wants to sever my attachment from this world. But Prabhupada is teaching you and me a lesson here. This is for us. One has to give up all attachment for worldly dealings before we can go back. As the Prabhupada says. Like, you know, Prabhupada will always teach like this. When Haridas Thakur tells Mahaprabhu, my dear Lord, my body is all right, but my mind is sick. So I am unable to complete my rounds. What Prabhupada says in purport? If one is unable to complete rounds, he is to be considered spiritually sickly. Is he talking about Haridas Thakur? No. He is talking about us. Haridas Thakur can chant 3 lakh names every day. So Prabhupada will draw some lesson for us. Because he doesn't want to keep this only for the Paramahamsas. Bhagavatam is supposed to be read by all of us. Therefore, he teaches lessons for us. Yeah. Read for them. See, the Lord creates an awkward situation, he says, and the devotee is forced to renounce the worldly affairs. For example, Vidura, he was peacefully a counselor and guide of Dhritarashtra, you know, and life was going on. He was a minister, you know, highly respectable. Maybe he must have had a palace, nice food, nice dress to wear, nice ornaments, and people saluting him in the morning, everybody. And life was going on very peacefully. Suddenly, Lord thought, what is Vidura doing here in the palace? The Lord wanted him to intensify his devotional service. Because that is why the Yamaraj came as Vidura. Correct, no? See, already Yamaraj, before also if you see Yamaraj, you know, he has to deal with all kinds of sinful living entities. He has to decide which punishment should be given to which living entity. Correct, no? Horrible job it is. So he was doing it for many, many long years and he got very fed up. And he developed a very strong desire that I want to practice pure devotional service, unadulterated pure devotional service. For that he came here. But unfortunately he got captured by the Asat Sabha. Of Duryodhana, Dushasana, Shakuni, and attached to Dhritarashtra. Day in and day out, his advice were all rejected. By whom? Dhritarashtra. Not that Dhritarashtra didn't hear. He would hear it and leave it in another ear. Like that. And Vidura had to time to time warn Dhritarashtra, time to time chastise Duryodhana, and keep protecting Pandavas. So, do you think he was in a very good situation? Is that what he wanted? No. He wanted to be a pure devotee practicing. So, then the Lord, who is all merciful, created an awkward situation. What was the awkward situation, anybody knows? He was being insulted. That Prabhupada writes, Vidura was surprised. How my nephew is insulting me so badly. He is a very close relative. He is my elder brother's son. No? Yeah. He is like a mama for him, no? Chachaji. Correct? No? Chacha for him. No? Such a Prabhupada writes that. He was very taken by surprise. That how can he talk towards the elder like this? So arrogantly, so harsh of speech. Up to the point of even throwing him out of the palace. I was taken by a shock. But then immediately he adjusted his mind. And immediately understood this is the will of the Supreme Lord. Now I will not remain here for a moment more. Therefore here he says here, you see. Lord creates an awkward situation and the devotee becomes obliged to renounce all worldly affairs. So, was Vidura obliged to give up or not? At that time, because he told Duryodhana, throw him out of the palace only with life air to breathe. Don't give him anything else. So, after hearing such an insult, no one would stay. So, therefore, he was obliged to renounce. And then the devotee can understand by the signal of the Lord. But others take it to be unfavorable and frustrating. See, Vidura saw it as a signal of the Lord. Because the devotees have a very intimate relation with Krishna. And they cannot separate any situation from Krishna. They will only see it in relation to Krishna. They will, first question they will ask is, why is Krishna doing this to me? He must be having some purpose. And he immediately understood. Krishna has done this because I think he wants me to be more serious in spiritual life. Like that he took it. The other people, After Vidura went, everybody was chastising, Duryodhana amongst themselves. What kind of talk he did? He insulted. So, and then Yudhishthira and other people were also very, very morose. He lost Vidura for a long time. After which he returned back later on. That was unexpected. They thought, it's like sometimes people put a poster, so-and-so missing. It was like that only. You put a photo and say, Vidura missing. Not to be found anywhere. Suddenly he left. He didn't tell us where is he going. But if such a missing personality of a home, sometimes the grandfather or father leave home and go away. Correct, no? Like once, your grandfather in a home, he's not grandfather, I think. It's father-in-law. Father-in-law was asking the daughter-in-law. He told her, see, I drink only coffee. She said, see, I'm making bonvita for the children. You also better drink bonvita. And he said, so you will dictate me what I should drink? I am asking you coffee, you are telling me bonvita. Why don't you make coffee for everybody in the family? She said, you ask coffee, he will say bonvita, he wants tea, he wants Horlicks. I can't make 10 things. So he told the daughter-in-law, because you insulted me, I am quitting home. So he left in the morning. And evening he came back. And daughter-in-law said, hey, you come back now? He said, if I am not there, what will my grandson do? Who will take him for a walk? So I come back, he said. So this got Smashan Vairagya. So morning he went to Nana Nani Park and evening he came back. Isn't it? But Vidura was not like that. He went and never came back. But he did come back. What for? Delivering the Dhritarashtra. Otherwise he had no reason to come back. So the devotee can understand by the signal of the Lord. But others take it to be unfavorable and frustrated. So many people must have said, oh, it's unfavorable for Vidura, poor Vidura. Itne saal achha advice diya. Now, just see, after so much of good advice, Dhritarashtra did not defend him. And Duryodhana insulted him. Probably he must have become broken hearted. He left the palace. Like that they were talking. But little did they know what was going on in Vidura's heart. Vidura took it as an advantage to become more and more Krishna conscious. Like that Prabhupada is saying. And below Prabhupada is saying, okay, go ahead, Maharaj Parikshit. Yeah, under which Bhagavatam was spoken. Okay, so now let's go to the next theme. So one important thing that we all learn in this awkward situation, theme is, in our life, in case somebody speaks some insulting words, or something doesn't go the way it is supposed to go. Like we say, man proposes, God disposes. But this is not the end statement. There is a statement which is more fine-tuned than this. Man proposes, God disposes, and proposes a better plan. That is more complete. Like one time our devotees went on some book distribution, but in one place they were stopped. They were not allowed to go into that village for distribution. For some reason, they were trying to take permission. They waited for one or 2 hours. They were still not allowed distribution there. So they were very upset. So then they were thinking they could take a detour and go into another village. But there when they went, they distributed practically more than 10 schools took Bhagavad Gita and they distributed some 2000 Bhagavad Gitas there. In fact, they were falling short. And they were never intending to go to that village. But because here they said no, so they went there. So first they proposed to go to this village, but God disposed that plan and God gave a better plan. Because if they went to this village, they would have finished 200-300. But now they did 2000. He says that they started with Narsingh Arati after their plan was disposed. So you will see in your life also, sometimes you have a plan and Krishna seems to be throwing sand in that plan again and again. You know, you try once, try second time, again and again, and you wonder, what is this? You don't know why is he doing, what is he doing? Why Krishna is playing like this? What is the reason? Maybe he doesn't like me doing this because he has some other better plan. So that is one thing we learn. Not only some insult somebody gave you, but also some dismissal of your plan also, correct, no? So once you try to understand deeper meaning whenever things are failing. Like you know that story of Purushottam Dev, when somebody insulted about his sweeping the ground, you know, then immediately waged a war, but he was defeated and he was shocked. He said, Jagannath, for your sake I am fighting battle and I am defeated. But the reason he was defeated was he didn't pray to Lord at all. So that was told by one great devotee in the frontiers of Jagannath Puri, isn't it? He told him. So second time he went to Jagannath and offered prayers. And then second time he, not only he won because Lord Jagannath Baladev, they personally came. Correct, no? So whenever a devotee is defeated in some situation or he is put into awkward situation where he is obliged to renounce the state of affairs, a devotee should always know that this awkward situation has a higher meaning. And in case you align with Lord's plan, you will become more Krishna conscious. So you can take two directions. See, from here you can go up. Like Vidura was here. After he was insulted, he went up like this. Anga Maharaj, you know, his son became bad son. So he went up, isn't it? Duryodhana's son became bad son. He went down like that. Or Dhritarashtra. Dhritarashtra's son became bad son. He went from here to here. Correct, no? Whereas you find Anga's son is a bad son. He went up here. Vena was Anga's son. So he was a bad son. So therefore we should know when we are put in an awkward situation, one can become angry with the Lord and give up devotional service. Take a U-turn and go back from surrendering to Lord. Or one can take it as God wants me to accelerate my devotional service. And then one accelerates devotional service and runs towards the Lord. Therefore, if you remember, I was telling one example. I saw one mother, saw the naughty child trying to touch the fire again and again, taking the knife in the hand, different things. Then the mother caught hold of the child's hand and then gave a slap. The child cried. I was seeing that, like that they cry, no? Sound keeps coming intermittently. But while crying like that, the child submerged the face in mother's sari and holding on both her feet, crying. Somebody said, see, mother only slapped you, why are you catching her? You go run away in the opposite direction. But the child will not do that, you will see. Because the attachment to mother is very strong. So if our attachment to Krishna is strong, when you get a slap towards, in which direction you will run? Towards Krishna. If attachment is not sufficiently strong, when you get a slap, we run in the opposite direction. That is another lesson we learn. You see? Like there was one devotee, you know, in his department, you know, there were two cars. So that temple head told him that, you know, your cars are not being utilized so well. So we thought of giving these cars to another department which needs an emergency. Whenever you need in future, we will provide you these two cars back to you. Right now your department is little low-key, you know, it's not doing much. This fellow got wild. He said he was doing Rudra Tandav practically. He said, how can you take these two cars? It's already given to my return off to our department. But they said it is not a department property. It has to be utilized also. So when they took away these two cars and gave it to another department, this fellow reduced his service to 1/4. Whatever he was doing, he cut down his service. He said, now I will show how I can be lazy. I will do my own thing. So he reduced all his services. He did not do any service. So what is this? Is it a positive example or negative example? Negative example. That means Lord created an awkward situation in his life. You will see that if you are stocking lot of money or if you are stocking facilities but you are not using in Krishna service, then Krishna will give some signal. Hey, iska paisa nikalo. He is not using in my service. See, iska vehicle nikalo. See, then at that time we should not cry, why Krishna is taking away. Huh? If you utilized it well, so you have heard the saying, use it or lose it. Repeat it. Human form of life, use it or lose it. Yeah. So, when we lose it, we have to learn a lesson. Huh? And imagine if this person, even with a luna, he is doing tremendous service. Then authorities will take pity on him. Hey, he is doing double the service now. Give him 4 cars now. Huh? They will give him 4 cars. Without his asking, it will come. Huh? You will see that. Like our devotees went for Gita contest distribution. They got lot of support, I heard. Huh? You know, many people took pity on them. They want to distribute to children and they don't have money. So, they gave money. People gave some money for, you know, for fitting the total amount, you see. One thing you will see when you, some people say, can I get this facility? Can I get that facility? Then I will start the service. But instead you start the service, then facility will come. Like you see, Krishna told Vasudev, pick me up and take me to Gokul. Vasudev didn't ask, my dear Lord, what about this chain that is handcuffing me? What about the leg chain? Who will open the door? Who will take care of watchman? No questions. He said, you want me to take you to Gokulam? Come here. As soon as he picked up Krishna, the chains broke. And then he just straight walked. He didn't even see the door is, just like an airport door, you just walk. You know that the door will open, correct, no? Are you afraid that I will hit against the door? Isn't it? So he walked and the door opened. So when we surrender, then Krishna facilitates subsequently. If you demand facility and you don't surrender, then we don't get facility. You see? Therefore, if you are put in awkward situations, one should run towards Krishna and one should upgrade one's spiritual life rather than becoming downgraded. So, if you become downgraded, we simply become offensive. We simply become fault finder. We give low performance, low service. Service also gets reduced. Offenses increase. One gets stupid in ignorance. Correct, no? As Dhritarashtra did. So, instead one should go up. That is the lesson we learn. You see? Very powerful it is. Come to 28 now. Okay, in 26, 27, read the translations.
The money, sense organs, breath, mind and intelligence are all restrained from the mental activities. And you are situated in a trance apart from the three, wakefulness, dream and consciousness. Having achieved the transcendental position, qualitatively equal to the Supreme Absolute.
Yeah.
The sage in meditation was covered by the skin of stag and long compressed hair was scattered all over him. The king, whose palate was dry from thirst, asked him for water.
Yeah. Next one.
The king, not received any formal welcome by means of being offered a seat at place, walk and sweet addresses, considered selected. At home, thinking he became angry.
Yeah. So here, the next theme of Vedic law of simple reception. Whoever comes to meet us, we should have the etiquette of giving them a sitting place, a chatai or something to sit, if they are sitting on the floor. It's not proper that we sit in an asana and to the visitor, we make them sit on the ground. That's not proper. As soon as someone comes, we should give an asana to sit. We should give them some water to drink. We should speak some sweet words of respect. So those things are courtesy, very basic. You don't need to be very highly wealthy to do these things. If you don't have a sofa, you can just give a chatai to sit. So, in this way, the etiquettes of respect, Prabhupada explains, and then he gives the example of Jarasandha, welcoming Krishna and Arjuna and Bhima, and how he treated them. So, even in the warfare, people would be friendly in the evenings. Only in the day they would fight. So, similarly, Parikshit, when he was seeing the sage with closed eyes, something similar happens with Agastya also. When Agastya and disciples go, Indradyumna Raja was having closed eyes and he did not respect. And then he got the curse to become an elephant in the next life. isn't it? Similarly, here it seems that the sage was having closed eyes. And in this case, instead of Agastya, there is Parikshit here. And Parikshit is thirsty. He was expecting that at least he will call me in and make me sit and give me a cup of water to drink. Of course, Parikshit didn't expect that he will give me a chapan bhog to eat, you know. At least just a cup of water at least. That kind of basic reception. And then further Prabhupada writes, after, read the next para, when Maharaj Parikshit entered the door.
When Maharaj Parikshit entered the door of the Rishi, he did not expect a royal reception by the Rishi.
Yeah, because royal reception is a very big thing. Royal reception means you should have some dancing girls dancing, and the colors, powder should be thrown, rangoli should be made, and elephants and horses, all the sounds, everything should be made, and then so and so Raja is coming, Savadhan, and all that announcement, dhan, 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 band and everything. It's called royal reception, correct, no? When he's coming, and thousands of people come to welcome, Brahmanas are chanting Vedic mantras. So, Parikshit would not have expected that, Prabhupada says. Because in a forest, how can one arrange all these things, you know? But he expected a simple reception. Next, read further.
Because he knew the sages and rishis are not materially conditioned. But he never expected that a seed of straw, a glass of water, and some sweet words would be denied to him. He was not an ordinary guest.
He was not an ordinary guest, but he's king of the world. Yeah, he's not an ordinary guest. He's a special guest. King of the world, yeah.
Not as the enemy of the rishi. Therefore, the cold reception by the rishi astonished the king greatly. As a matter of fact, the king was right to get angry with the rishi when he needed a glass of water very badly. To become angry in such a perilous situation was not unnatural for the king. But because the king himself was not less than a great saint, he is becoming angry and taking an action was worth astonishing. So, it must be accepted that it was so ordained by the Supreme Will of the Lord. The king was great devotee of the Lord, and the saint was also as good as the king. But by the will of the Lord, the circumstances were so created that they became raised to kings, becoming unadvisable family on connection and governmental activities, thus becoming a complete surrendered soul under the lotus feet of Lord Krishna.
Now comes the important point, solid point. Read it.
The merciful Lord sometimes creates such awkward situations,
awkward positions,
for his pure devotees, in order to drag them towards himself from the mire of the mental existence.
See, in the NOI, Nectar of Instruction, Prabhupada uses the word drag. Krishna conscious process is such a process that it drags one towards ultimate, what is that? Perfection, drags one towards perfection. How it drags, that is explained here. That drag is explained here. The merciful Lord sometimes creates such awkward positions for his, like Prabhupada writes when Dasi Putra, Narada boy, when he lost his mother, when she was bitten by a serpent, Prabhupada writes, that is the way of dragging a sincere soul. Dragging a sincere soul towards the Lord's lotus, Prabhupada writes. So this phenomenon you can see, either the candidate is materially attached, so Lord is detaching him and dragging him towards him, or the Lord has a plan to arrange for Bhagavatam to be spoken. So Lord uses pure devotees. Now, some of you may have a question, how can Lord abuse his devotee like this? Your pure devotee is so dear to the Lord and he is so focused in service to the Lord. Why should Lord put such pure devotees in such situations? We may have a question. One thing we should know, the pure devotees are in a very intimate relation with the Lord. Therefore, the Lord uses them as a medium to teach the other living entities. Like the example we give of mother and daughter. And the mother uses daughter to teach the daughter-in-law. Like that. And the pure devotees, because they are transcendental to three gunas, even when Lord does this play kind of things with them, they don't get affected very easily. You understand, no? See, because we are conditioned soul, we are very shocked. We think that the way we will get affected, the pure devotees also will get affected. We think like that. Correct, no? Like for example, imagine if one of us was told to go to forest for 12 years, like Pandavas. It will be difficult for us to take it. Because, you know, one night we cannot sleep without mosquito net. You know, one time we had gone to one farmhouse. I was supposed to speak on the glory of Vedic life, you know. So we were sitting in the garden and speaking glory of Vedic life, and all these insects were jumping, you know. Some of the boys were sitting, everybody was jumping up, sitting in that place, because all 8.4 million species are available in that forest. And some of them are jumping into the ears here and everywhere. Then we told the boys, let us go inside the room. And one of the boys asked, Bhavaji, Vedic life is surely glorious, but how Pandavas lived in the jungle? You know, we cannot tolerate one evening time in the garden with the insects, when it gets little darker. And they were there 12 years. And even rakshasis used to come in the forest. So, because pure devotees of the Lord can't take it. One thing we can be very confident, Lord will not give us such a special mercy which we cannot take it. It won't be like a big nariyal kept on a sparrow's head, you know. Sparrow will become chutney after that. Lord will only give such things to His very advanced devotees, very pure devotees. Because with them, the Lord actually can experience great loving exchange with them. Because when difficulties are put, devotees immediately turn to Lord. And that makes a very sweet connection between Lord and the devotee. The relationship becomes purer, tighter, intense, and dynamic exchanges are accelerated. Lord enjoys, pure devotee enjoys, while the whole world is thinking, poor pure devotee, he is put into all difficulty. They are thinking like that. The merciful Lord, read it.
The merciful Lord sometimes creates such an awkward position for the pure devotees, not able to drag them towards Himself for the matter of material existence. But outwardly, the situation appears to be frustrating in devotees. The devotees of the Lord are always under the protection of the Lord. And in any condition, frustration affects it. Lord is the supreme guide of the devotees. A pure devotee, therefore, accepts all conditions of frustration as blessings from the Lord.
Yes. This is the right conclusion of the devotee. Krishna is giving me some trouble, it is a blessing. Krishna is embracing me, it's a blessing. Ashlishyava Padaratam Pinashtumam. Same meaning. That means the Lord may embrace me, Lord may kick me. Whatever he is doing it, he is actually trying to help me. Like in that place where Bharat Maharaj became attached to dear, Prabhupada says, when Lord saw Bharat showing a willful neglect, he says, then the Lord wanted to make him serious in spiritual life. He is so careless. He is so casual in his spiritual life. While performing yajna, he is playing with a deer. Lord wanted to make him serious. So Prabhupada says, Lord arranged for one lifetime of deer for him. Short lifetime. After which he became Jada Bharat. So if you see, Bharat was like this, Jada Bharat was like this. Like the other side of the pendulum. Correct, no? You compare Bharat and Jada Bharat. Bharat is, you know, looking at the deer while putting the yajna also. But Jada Bharat, very attentive. He was like a deaf, dumb fellow. He wouldn't speak one prajalpa also to anyone. And he was focused on the Lord. He pretended to be like a dull man. Like a fire covered by a pot or something. He behaved like that. So, was the purpose of the Lord served or not? Served, correct? This is what Lord wanted to do. Some foolish person may say, hey, Lord said, Trayate Mahato Bayat. Why he became animal? Some foolish people argue like anything. Okay, Lord gave animal body, but he didn't lose his consciousness. And then he remembered, and then he became woken up. You see, he became very serious. So, this is why the Lord, like one time one of our devotees was driving, sumo while driving, he goes a little bit. Like that, the sumo went to the side. And it, the road, on the, below the road, there was sidewalk which was little lesser than the road, you know. So the tire went off and the whole gadi was about to topple and nothing happened. Fortunately, in that entire road, no vehicles were there that day. So now the devotee got up and another devotee said, Prabhu, you go and sleep behind, I will drive now. He said, no, Prabhu, I will wash my face. And yesterday night I got less sleep, he said. But now after he washed his face, he was very careful in driving. Because now he got one jerk. Correct, no? And he became careful. So Lord sometimes gives, he shakes us and wakes us up by giving one slap. And then one, oh, now I will not commit the same mistake again. Correct, no? So devotee becomes alert. So Lord wants to make us alert in spiritual. Now all of you for a moment think about which anartha you feel is repeatedly creating trouble for you. Lord will slap you through that anartha only. For that anartha only you will get a slap. Some of us may be lazy. Some of us may be angry. Some of us may be lusty. Some of us may be greedy and over ambitious. So some of us may be very slow and lazy and slack in spiritual life. So we will find that these anarthas actually, you know, become big stumbling blocks. And we will get punishments for these anarthas. And the punishments may come in various ways. You may be deprived of the service, or you may be insulted by somebody, or you may get a chastisement by your superiors, or we may fall prey to Maya temporarily for a short time, or it's possible until we become serious again. Correct? No? All these things will happen. And then either we take action ourselves now, or the Lord has to do that for us. The all merciful Lord. You want to see Lord's mercy? Then he has to do it. The merciful Lord, sometimes he will create awkward situations. Very beautiful point it is. So we should see all frustrating conditions as blessing of the Lord. Yeah. So one should, like one time one devotee got a chastisement. Still that devotee said, Prabhuji, thank you for your chastisement. Give me even more chastisement. I am such a forgetful fellow. I am getting chastisement for forgetfulness. This is not enough for me. I need even more so that I will never forget. You know, there is a saying, a faint pencil is far superior to a bright memory. Sometimes we see that a very new devotee, in a very new devotee's life, lot of obstacles come, which may shake his faith. Is it Krishna's arrangement or his own karma? How to understand the difficulty in my life or the anarthas that I am facing is my karma or Krishna's arrangement? See, nobody in this world is given difficulty more than what they can tolerate. Like you all were studying in 5th standard, mathematics. It appeared, 600 book appeared to be very tough, correct, no? But when you went to 6th and later on you went to 7th, then 600 book becomes very cakewalk, very easy, correct, no? So, similarly, Lord will only give us difficulties and challenges which we can face. If a devotee tells you that Lord is giving too much, he can't face, that means he is not sufficiently Krishna conscious. If one is taking the Krishna consciousness nicely, he will be given the strength to face all obstacles. Yeah. Like, do you think what Haridas Thakur faced the challenge of Durga Devi coming as a tempter of Haridas Thakur? Do you think Lord will send Durga Devi to you? No, he knows how fallen we are, you know. He will not tempt us with such a great powerful personality. Correct, no? So he will only test us according to whose ability? Our ability. You can be confident. But in a new devotee's life, he may say, I am facing a lot of difficulties. You should tell him, you chant nicely. You read nicely. You will get the strength to face them. Then he can go towards Krishna instead of going away from Krishna. Yeah, let's go to verse number 32. Read the other verses, translations. Yeah.
O Brahmanas, the king's anger and envy directed towards the Brahmana sage was unprecedented. Being that circumstances had made him hungry and thirsty. While leaving, the king, being so insulted, picked up like the snake with his bow and angrily placed it on the shoulder of the sage. Then he returned to his palace.
And read the purport.
The king thus treated the sage tit for tat, although he was never accustomed to such silly actions. By the will of the Lord, the king, while going away, found a dead snake in front of him, and he thought that the sage who had coldly received him might be coldly rewarded by being offered a garland of a dead snake. In the ordinary course of dealings, this was not very unnatural. But in the case of Manas Parikshit's dealing with the Brahmana sage, this was certainly unprecedented. It so happened by the will of the Lord.
Yeah. See, somebody may say, oh, this person is always like this. I know his nature, but this is his nature. Because if Parikshit was used to misbehaving like this with many people, like Vena behaved, then we can say that, see, now also he did like this. But in his entire life, he had a clean track record of being obedient to sages and saints, and being a pure devotee of the Lord. And he comes in what dynasty? Pandava's dynasty. And he has been a pure devotee. And he had interaction with the Lord even on his birth time. So therefore, such behavior like this cannot be accounted for. It is definitely the Lord's will. It was unprecedented. Because he was also saintly and Samyakrishi was also saintly. Between two saintly people, this type of behavior is unprecedented, like the Prabhupada writes. Here is the next translation, 31.
Upon returning, he began to contemplate and argue within himself whether the sage had actually been meditation with entrance contemplated and eyes closed, or whether he had just been feeling trance just to avoid receiving a lower kshatriya.
Read the next one, 32.
The sage had a son.
We will recite the shloka. Tasya putro ati tejasvi viharan balakor bakaihi rajnyagham prapitam tatam shrutva tatredam abravit.
Yeah. Sage Addison was very powerful, being a Brahmana's son. While he was playing with the inexperienced boys, he heard of his father's distress, which was occasioned by the king. Then and there, the boy spoke as follows.
Yeah. See in that purport, fourth or fifth line. Okay, Prabhupada writes, third line, the boy was known as Sringi, son of Samyakrishi. And he achieved good training in Brahmacharya by his father, so that he could be as powerful as a Brahmana, even at that age. Read further.
But because the age of Kali was seeking an opportunity to spoil the cultural heritage of four orders of life, an experienced boy gave a chance for the age of Kali to enter into the field of Vedic culture. Hatred of the lower orders of life began from this Brahmana boy. Under the influence of Kali, and thus cultural life began to dwindle day after day. The first victim of the grammatical injustice was Maharaj Parikshit. Thus, the protection given by the king against the onslaught of Kali was slackened.
Yeah. See, sometimes there will be a quarrel between Brahmanas and Kshatriyas. Even in Vedic times, there are examples. For example, higher race, Kartavirya Arjuna. He had a problem with Jamadagni. Because he wanted to take Jamadagni's Kamadhenu cow, by force. And then because of that, he took it and went away. And then Parashuram came there and came to know that it has been stolen. So he went and fought a valiant battle with Kartavirya Arjuna and killed him. And when he brought the cow back, Jamadagni was shocked. Hey, this Kartavirya Arjuna is a big man. You cut off his 1,000 hands, maybe you can leave 2 hands for everyday working and all. 2 hands and 998 hands you can cut. No problem. But to kill the person for getting the cow back, my son, this is too much. It wasn't proper. Parashuram said, what can I do? It was not proper for him to steal it from us. And then another day, his sons, Kartavirajan, after he died, his sons came and took a revenge by cutting off the head of Jamadagni when he was doing yajna. At that time, Renuka, the wife of Jamadagni, came out and saw them killing him, killing her husband. And she was a woman, she couldn't defend him. She was beating on her chest, Rama, 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 Rama. 21 times she begged, calling out Rama, Rama. She was calling Parashuram. At that time, Parashuram came running. But as soon as he came, he saw his father was already killed. So he saw his mother going around the yajnic fire, crying Rama, Rama 21 times. So 21 generations of Kshatriyas I will kill. Like that he took a vow. After that, all over the world he went. And wherever he found Kshatriyas, he killed them. And Dasharath was so afraid when he came. Whenever he would come, Dasharath would arrange a marriage sacrifice. Because this fellow had taken a vow. Who? Parashuram. If somebody is in marriage party, I will not kill that Kshatriya. It's not a good time to kill. I won't kill. Or if somebody is surrounded by women, I will not kill them. So there is another king called as Narikavach. This Narikavach. Whenever Parashuram came, he will put women all around him and in center he will be hiding. Has he gone away or not? Like that. You know. So, in the, you find them taking revenge back and forth. Correct, no? This is between Brahmanas and Kshatriyas. Fine. Similarly, here you find he is a Brahmana who is Shringi and he is becoming angry on a Kshatriya. Therefore, in Bhagavatam, we should study the section of Swayambhava Manu coming to meet Kardama Muni. Kardama Muni is a Brahmana. Swayambhava Manu is Kshatriya. That section is very important. So, you can compare Swayambhava Manu to the managers and Kardama Muni to the preachers. Our preachers, counselors and gurus in ISKCON, they are on Kardama Muni's side. Correct, no? Because they are purely Brahminical service they are doing. No? And administrators and managers are compared to with who? Swayambhava Manu. Now you should see the relationship. Like Swayambhava Manu is telling Kardama Muni, oh great ascetic, you are shining with the ascetic splendor. When I look at your face, you have the Brahma Tejas on your face. And people like you are walking, talking scripture. And you purely speak the word of God. And you don't do any activity for sense gratification. Every limb of your body is actually orchestrated by the Lord to perform pure activities for His pleasure. And your mouth is decorated with His glorification always. And not caring for the worldly allurements, you simply live in this forest for pleasing Lord Vishnu. Therefore, you are like a sacred Tirtha, you know, who deserves to be taken shelter. Anyone can take the dust off your feet and apply on the head. And we people like myself, who are administrators and kings of the world, because of the royal pleasures and facilities, we become intoxicated and proud in our position. And we are always materialistic in nature. So like that, who is saying? Someone is saying. And Kardama Muni is saying, if the royal Kshatriyas do not board the chariots along with the horses, and if they don't move around subduing the thieves and rogues and keeping the law and order and looking into the welfare of all the praja, and if they don't protect the brahmanas, women, children, cows, all these things, then this whole world will be put to ruination without such Kshatriyas. Although the Kshatriya may be very saintly and very devoted to God, still he does the thankless task of administrating the world, which is very painful service, which they take it up. So, and those kings who take up the service on behalf of the Supreme Lord are glorified, like that he speaks. So when he hears it, Swayambhava Manu feels so happy. He folds his palm and says, he says that, Dishtyatpayanushishtoham, like that he says, you have done a great anugraha for me by giving these instructions. In fact, he said, I was already thinking of renouncing everything. But after hearing you, I am getting some encouragement for management. So there is one devotee, Akrur Prabhu in London Temple. He writes the Leadership Excellence Journal. So in one of his journals, he wrote an article, how the administrators and managers should be encouraged and they should not be criticized. Although Prabhupada says that even the topmost of the devotees, pure devotees, gopis, are criticizing the first manager of the universe, Brahmaji, for creating eyelids which keep opening and closing. So Prabhupada says traditionally managers have been criticized. You know, even the first manager was created. I mean criticized. So, similarly, people will criticize kitchen, people will criticize deity room, people will criticize, you know, preaching departments. So, we may criticize. So, he says that because managers are severely criticized, all managers want to renounce and become bhajanandis. He says, therefore, managers should not be criticized, they should be encouraged so that they will continue management, administration. So, in the same manner as I told you, Shringi is a Brahmana. And Parikshit is a Kshatriya, administrator of the universe. So, Shringi should encourage him or not? He should encourage. Because if he is not encouraged, then the whole Imagine if Parikshit doesn't do the rule, what will happen, he will tell later. Samikrishi will tell that. So, the royal order, namely the Kshatriyas, between them and the Brahminical order, when fights came, then Kali found a place there. He thought, this is a wonderful way I can, because what happens in this world, who is needed? Brahmanas are needed or Kshatriyas are needed? Both are needed. Because the Kshatriyas do the protection, administration, welfare. They have to do this. And the Brahmanas have to give spiritual vision. And take the whole society back home, back to Godhead. So if Brahmana doesn't give vision, then all the administration will be materialistic. And the living entities will degrade. Simply, like in sometimes you see some base, they call it, some places, where there is no visionary leader in the head, in the top. The result is what? People nicely eat food and get up at 8 o'clock in the morning, eat food and go to sleep. There is no reading, there is no hearing, there is no chanting. Then anybody can, people come back and chant 14 rounds in the night. So some people reduce also rounds. So, on the other hand, if there is a visionary leader, but there is no administrator, managers are not there, there are many Brahmanas in our ISKCON society who are first class speakers. But because they don't have administrative machinery along with them, they are not able to expand Krishna consciousness movement far and wide. Prabhupada said, if you have one bullet with you and throw it on somebody, nothing will happen. But you put it in a gun, you shoot like that, then it will have effect. So the gun is like ISKCON, administration. So when we have the administration and the bullet is the holy name, the holy name should be put inside the organization and we should shoot like this, like that. So then it will take effect. Therefore Prabhupada wanted GBC to come together and meet. Similarly, administration does the expansion part and the visionary leader gives substance and both should be combined together. If there is no substance, our expansion has no meaning. We only expand material expansion, isn't it? Just like a man, woman come and produce dozens of children who have no spiritual substance. That is only a material prajapati, isn't it? But our organization is a spiritual organization. So the Brahminical icing on the cake for giving the vision and the administrative bodies expanding it far and wide. This combination is very vital. But unfortunately, a quarrel came between the two. Here you find Sringi becoming angry with Parikshit. So now you will see that subsequently Kali found a place here. Therefore, even amongst devotees in the age of Kali Yuga, if there is a quarrel, immediately quarrel has to be set right. If you don't set right the quarrel, what will happen? Kali will become very sturdy. He will become very strong. He will take advantage of this opportunity. So this is his Brahmastra for Kali. Hated of lower orders of life. Lower orders means Kshatriya, Brahmanas hating Kshatriyas or Shudras and all. And thus cultural life began to dwindle day after day. Read the next translation, yeah?
The Brahmana's son, Shani, said, "Oh, just look at the sins of the rulers, who like crows and walk off at the road, perpetrate sins against their masters, contrary to the principles of governing servants." Which one's governing servants?
Yeah, he is calling Kshatriyas as what? He is calling them as crows and watchdogs. Why he is calling like this? Sometimes for performing yajna, a brahmana may have some ghee kept in a vati or something, in a drone or something. And a crow may come flying and pick up the drone and fly away. Correct, no? So like a crow who is taking the brahmana's property. So he is calling Parikshit like that. You Kshatriyas, word he is saying is, you are like a watchdog at the door. See, Kshatriyas are protectors. But calling them as watchdog is actually an insult. Correct, no? Using such words, insulting words, it's not respectful. So Prabhupada says here, the Brahmanas are considered to be head and brains of society. Kshatriyas are the arms of social body. Arm is to protect, that's correct. At the same time he says, caste system is scientific and everything. And then below Prabhupada is saying, please read it. Herein, Sringi, a qualified son of a great Brahmana. Read it.
Herein, Sringi, a qualified son of a great Brahmana, attained the required Brahmana power. both by the birth and by training. But he was lacking in culture because he was an inexperienced boy.
Culture means behavior. He was lacking in proper etiquettes in his speech and behavior. Yeah.
By the influence of Hari, the son of Brahmana became popular with the Brahmanical power and has wrongly compared Maharaj to crows and watchdogs. The king is certainly the watchdog of the state in a sense that he keeps vigilant eyes over the border of the state for its protection and defense. But to address him as a watchdog is a sign of less cultured body. Thus, the downfall of Brahmanical powers began as they gave importance to birthright.
See, this happens. This happens even in communities which are Kanishta communities. For example, the managers can call the preachers as avadutas. He is an avadut. He gives lecture here, lecture there. Usko practical kya malum? Realistic life kya hai? Usko kuch malum nahi. He is having his head in the clouds. He doesn't have leg in the ground. And we people are right in the ground level. We are doing. We know what is what. We know logistics. We know the reality. Usko kya malum? He will just, he's a avaduta. He will chant, dance, lecture dekar bhag jayega. What does he know? So the Kshatriyas speak about Brahmanas like that. And what the Brahmanas say? Oh, these people, what administration are they doing? They are just dealing with money, dealing with people, dealing with systems. You know, they have no spiritual substance. They simply are just administrators. You know, this any Tom, Dick and Harry can do. Actually, you should put the horse before the cart. And Brahmana is the horse. And the administration is the cart. Management. What will a dead cart do without the spiritual substance? Administration is simply like a dead cart which cannot move an inch. Like that the Brahmanas speak. So, because of this kind of tug of war between the two, insulting one another, our movement will stop. That's what happened in Gaudiya Math. In Gaudiya Math, the individual Brahminical people, they wanted to take the administration in their hands. So, they started different Math. Devananda Gaudiya Math, Chinmaya, Chaitanya Gaudiya Math, Advaita Gaudiya Math. Like that they started different Mathas. Today, if you see, Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur started 64, but now there are more than 100, and they also have many foreign centers also. But one matha has expanded to 3 or 4. That's all. They have not. They are all. They never plan in a very mass way. Like if Russia does some wonderful thing, even in Pune, we can show it that V ISKCON is doing such a thing in Russia. Correct, no? That kind of facility they don't have. Because they have divided the Gaudiya Math into hundreds of pieces. So, then every piece is trying to become a little more than what they are doing. So, that mainly happened because of this. Because there were two prominent people. One was Kunja Bihari. Ananta Vasudeva was Brahminical. And Kunja Bihari Bilasthita Maharaj, he was the one who was holding all the property. All the property, lands, mathas. Temples, he was like the power of attorney was given to him as signing authority. So he was holding the properties, the material part of the Gaudiya mission. And Ananta Vasudev was a very learned scholar and very deeply learned in Gita, Bhagavat and all the Goswami literature and everything. He would speak with very great eloquence and such kind of. So one was Brahminical and one was Kshatriya, but there was a tug of war between them. And then one was holding the property, one was holding the charisma and holding the people with him. So the whole thing got scattered away after Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur went. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada wrote those poems in the Vyas Puja. And then he started the ISKCON, where in ISKCON, the same thing shouldn't repeat in ISKCON. Therefore, Prabhupada said, we should have a spiritual managerial, work done by the GBC. In GBC, there are many Brahminical visionary people also in GBC. There are people who are more on the administration side also. So, they have made a combination of the two so that they can come together and the Brahmanas and Kshatriyas can work together. That is actually GBC. And there are many gurus in GBC who don't do direct administration also. And some are such administrators that they do very little Brahminical work also. Both are put together. so that our society will remain united. Because the Brahmana and Kshatriya combination can expand a society far and wide, all over the world. Because one has got head, another one has got the shoulders. You know, Kshatriyas are shoulders and Brahmanas are head. This combination is very powerful. They can do miracles. Yeah. So, here you find that the Brahminical order is criticizing the Kshatriya order as a watchdog. That's how the downfall began, he says. Read the 34th translation.
The disciplines of the kingly orders are definitely designed as watchdogs.
Designated
as watchdogs. And they must keep themselves at the door. On what grounds can dogs enter the house and claim to ride with the master on the same place?
Like that he's asking. See what kind of, although the boy is small, his mouth is big. See, Prabhupada is saying in the purport, the inexperienced Brahmana boy certainly knew that the king asked for water from his father and father did not respond. He tried to explain away his father's in-house hospitality in an impertinent manner befitting an uncultured boy. See, this boy never understood what his father did. He was only pointing blame of Parikshit. Read that. He was not all sorry.
He was not at all sorry for the king's not being well received. On the contrary, he justified the wrong act in a way characteristic of the Brahmanas of Kali Yuga. He compared the king to a watchdog, and it was wrong for the king to enter the home of Brahmana and ask for water from the same pot. A dog is certainly reared by the master, but that does not mean the dog shall claim, drink, and drink from the same pot. This mentality of false prestige is the cause of downfall of the perfect social order. And we can see that in the beginning it was started by an inexperienced son of the Brahmana.
Yeah.
As the dog is?
Yeah, so, yeah. And then 35th verse he says, Krishna Egate Bhagavati Shastaryutpatagaminam Tadbhinnasetun Adyaham Shasmipashyatame Balam.
After the departure of Lord Krishna, the personal Godhead and supreme ruler of everyone, these upstarts have flourished or protected being gone. Therefore, I myself shall take up this matter and punish him. Just witness my power.
Prabhupada says the inexperienced Brahmana puffed up by a little Brahma Tejas became influenced by the spell of Kali Yuga, and he gave, Maharaj Parikshit gave license to Kali to live in four places, but by his very expert government, the personality of Kali could hardly find the places allotted. The personality of Kali Yuga therefore was seeking opportunity to establish authority, and by the grace of the Lord he found a hole in the puffed up, inexperienced son of a Brahmana. The little Brahmana wanted to show his prowess in destruction, and he had the audacity to punish such a great king as Maharaj Parikshit. He wanted to take the place of Lord Krishna after his departure. These are the principal signs of upstarts who want to take the place of Sri Krishna under the influence of the age of Kali. An upstart with a little power wants to become an incarnation of the Lord. There are many false incarnations after departure of Lord Krishna. And they are misleading innocent public by accepting spiritual obedience of the general mass of people to maintain false prestige. See, for example, the caste Goswamis. After Lord Nityananda, Advaita and all appeared, some of them are Advaita Vamshis, some of them are Nityananda Vamshis. They come in the physical seminal lineage. And they saw that apart from the seminal lineage, there are also other Vaishnavas preaching powerfully, making devotees. So they declared that unless you take initiation from the seminal Goswamis, you cannot go back to Godhead. That kind of propaganda they made. Whole idea was to keep all people under their control. That kind of thing they did. So in the same manner here, this little boy, he has attained some little Brahma Tejas, but is puffed up. So Prabhupada says a false prestige is the cause of downfall, in the previous Prabhupada said. And the Brahmana boy wanted to show his power what I can do with Brahma Tejas. Actually, he is going to spell out a curse. That is explained here. And Parikshit Maharaj was capable of counteracting the curse also, Prabhupada says. But he didn't counteract. He had the ability, he says. Read the next translation.
The son of the Rishi, eyes red hot with anger, cut the water of the river Kaushika. While speaking his playmates and beautiful playmates and discharge the fallen thunderbolt of eggs.
See, one very important point here in 35 verse. See, 35 verse says, Krishne Gate Bhagavati. He is speaking like a very spiritual person. He is saying that Krishna Gate Bhagavati. Hey, just because Krishna has disappeared from the planet, you know, these upstart kings like Parikshit are coming and indulging in such kind of rash behavior with my father. Therefore, I am going to curse. So, sometimes, you know, we may speak such spiritual words to justify our own false ego. So, like here, see, I have given the heading here. Justifying, read that. Theme? Theme? No, theme here.
Justifying a wrong act and
trying. We should preserve the sadhu's dress. It's not proper. Now, one Vaishnava says, Prabhu, when we go for book distribution, wherever we get prasad in Indian homes, after all, Indians are all pious. You know, we can eat prasad, whatever we get. And let us reach out Prabhupada books to the nook and corner. To thousands of people. Another Vaishnava says, you know, if you eat in anybody's home, you know, you will lose your purity and you will fall down. Because they are not chanting 16 rounds. You know, they have to be initiated. If they are not initiated, at least they should be 16 rounds. If they are not, then you cook in their home and eat. So this is what, so do you see both Vaishnavas have their, have the same ultimate goal. They both want to please Krishna. One want to eat, you know, eat in anybody's home, but reach out many books. Another want to preserve purity and then reach out books.
Correct, no?
And even if some book distribution is a little bit compromised, he says no problem. At least the purity is also important. So you will see in our society some differences in an opinion will come between Vaishnavas when we are expanding the society. But we should learn to present our viewpoint in a very cultured way. Within one department also, there will be differences in opinion, surely. When you work with a few group of people, in the same department you will see, one says one thing because he is seeing from one angle, another says another thing, seeing from another angle. And how do you express in a meeting? You know, in case you are too proud of your opinion, you will tell the other person, what is this? You say, eh? Like that, you may talk like that. You may, some people show their mouth like that. Or somebody may say, you know, I know exactly you will say like that. Like for example, people who are very strict, they criticize dilute people as fallen souls. You are such a fallen soul, you want everybody to fall down along with you. I know you are already a fallen soul, but don't speak it out in a meeting. You know, you want to dilute everyone. And those people who want the matter to be settled in a more lighter manner, they may call the strict people as Hitlers. Hey, you are like Hitler. You are like upstart. You are proud. You are this, you are that. So why I am saying this? When we live in a society community, when the differences crop up, just like you find Bhima and Draupadi having a difference. And differences have to be very amicably settled. Here you find the Sringi, he is sharp of tongue. And he is using Krishna's name. What he is saying here, see, Krishne Gate Bhagavati, Shastari Utpata Gamina, he is telling. Utpata Gaminam, all these upstarts have come. Just because Krishna has gone, upstarts are coming. As if this Brahmana is talking, as if he is the upholder of the Dharma. Like that he is talking, correct, no? And using Krishna's name. And why is he using Krishna's name? There is a reason. Because sometimes when we say something, it is not weighty enough. So he wants to increase the weight of his statement. So he wants to justify his statement. So he is taking help of Krishna. Which goes to show, sometimes in order to make some false propaganda, we can pull Prabhupada also into that. So sometimes people pull Prabhupada into what they want to say. Correct, no? Like this Food for Life is a very big talk, even amongst many leaders. Many leaders say that the Food for Life was never coined by Prabhupada. The word Prabhupada said you should call it Krishna Prasadam. Prabhupada, abroad also Prabhupada used the name Krishna Prasadam if you see the early days. Later on, some people made the name Food for Life. And another thing, they say that Prabhupada wanted the Prasadam to be distributed in the temple premises, where the holy names will be sung, people can hear it, they will be enthused to go for darshan of the deities. Gradually they will become devotees. But now, you know, it has gone far away from the temple to schools, midday meal, where devotees don't go and distribute prasad. With tilak, kantimala, chanting Hare Krishna, one should distribute, ideally speaking. Like I remember going in Bombay with Radha Gopinath Prabhu to slums. When we would go, slums which are about 2-3 kilometers from Chowpatty, you know, we would go, but we would go with a gadi. We will chant, dance, make all slum children dance, and then we distribute prasad. It should be accompanied by Harinam. Now in the schools, midday meal, Akshay Patra is doing. You know, there is no chanting of the holy name there. Not even Mahaprasada Govinde. No prayers. You know? And no tilak wale, devotees are not seen. Children, I don't know whether they know this Hare Krishna Prasadam also. It has become more of a eating program. So our Jayadutt Swami Maharaj called it as food for death, he called it. It is not food for life, he said. You are feeding them food and killing their spiritual life. You are not giving them Krishna, he said. So there are differences like this, like the one which I am telling you now. So one wants to preserve purity and one wants large scale reachability. Like Ramanuja's guru told him, don't give this mantra to anyone, correct? But Ramanuja wanted to distribute it to large number of people, so he went up the Gopuram and he recited. So when these type of differences crop up, how we balance it? So a person who is very exalted personality, he will be able to resolve the contradictions. And he will be able to see the extremes and arrive at a consensus of many people coming together, and all of them can come to an agreed upon way of doing a thing. So here you find, in order to prove his own wrong statements and wrong action, he is pulling Krishna into his, you know, statement. Krishna Gate Bhagavati, he is saying. And 37 translation.
Ramana said, asked the king first, on the seventh day from today, the snake bird will bite the most wretched one of the dynasty, Maharaj Parikshit, because of his having broken the laws of etiquette by insulting my father.
Yeah. Prabhupada writes in the second line there, misuse of Brahmical power is saying, the Brahmana boy considered Parikshit to be Kulangana, or wretched of the dynasty. But factually, the Brahmana boy himself was so. Because only from him did the Brahmana caste become powerless, like the snake whose poison teeth are broken. The snake is fearful as long as poison teeth are there. Otherwise, he is fearful only to children. The personality of Kali conquered the Brahmana boy first, and gradually the other castes. Thus, the whole scientific system of Varnashrama collapsed, he is saying. So, you know, I told you four things about Kali, correct, no? Quarrel, hypocrisy, rebellion, yeah, and whimsical behavior. So, in this way, the Brahmana's hypocritical speech and behavior caused Kali to enter his tongue. So, through Kali sat in his tongue and made him speak this. Because Kali thought that if Parikshit is finished, then, you know, he can open the floodgate of Kali's bad vices into the world very easily. Because he found Parikshit was like this, keeping Kali in bay. He was not allowing Kali to enter the world. Now when Parikshit is removed, then very easily he can enter. But he used this small boy very smartly. You all know, when some thief want to steal, nowadays they use some small boys. You know that? They tell a small boy, you go through this window. You know, go straight. See, the TV is kept there. You know, pick up this. Then pick up that laptop, pick up this. And in case the family people catch the small boy, this thief will run away. And then what can they do with the small boy? Anyway, they can't do. In train also, thieves, how they steal? Three people are there. One fellow is standing with the bike outside. One fellow is in the platform. And the third small boy they will send. You go and pick up the laptop and give it to me. So when the boy gives the laptop to him, you catch the small boy, but the laptop is already given to the second fellow. And then he goes and sits in the bike of the third fellow and they flee from there. So they have found out in Pune also, laptop chores. You have to be very careful. They come in a group like this. So they do like that. Similarly, Kali also thought, I will use this small Brahmana boy as a tool to finish Parikshit. Because I am not able to finish Parikshit. So I will use this boy through him. Like that Kali did. You see? Read the translations.
There, thereafter, when the boy returned to the hermitage, he saw his snake on his father's shoulder. Out of his grief, he cried very loudly. Brahmanas, the rishi, who was born of the family of Angiramani, hearing the son crying, gradually opened his eyes and saw the dead snake around his neck.
Prabhupada says in the purport of 38, the boy was not happy because he committed a great mistake. And he wanted to be relieved of the burden of his heart by crying. So now he is crying now, after seeing his father. Read next translation.
He threw the dead snake aside and asked his son why he was crying, whether anyone had done him harm. On hearing this, the son explained to him what had happened.
Yeah, see the themes? Wanting to show one's prowess, an audacity to punish great persons, wanting to take the place of Lord Krishna. See, wanting to take the place of Lord Krishna, I want to say one or two words about it also. You know, when Gopinath Patnaik teased Badajan, Badajan is the prince, son of Pratapudra. So Badajan became insulted and his false ego got twisted. Therefore, what punishment he gave him? Put him in Changa. So, he has no right to put him on Changa. But on whose behalf he was putting him on Changa? King. King was who? Pratapudra. Now, later on when the news went to Pratapudra, he was shocked. Just for getting money, why to put a person in Changa? You know? Because we don't want to kill him. We only want the money back. Changa means swords arranged for killing. Actually, the swords are all kept and you fall from the top on them and your body will be cut to pieces. One will die. It's a punishment to kill a person, like death sentence, like that. So, at that time, Pratapudra said, immediately stop him. You know, he need not be put in Changa, he said. So, do you agree that Badajan misrepresented his father? Correct, no? But, because he is son of the king, you know, he had that audacity to take the role of the father, saying that I am doing on behalf of the father. But the punishment that he gave was disproportionate punishment. Correct, no? Like one time, I came to know that some boy got up late on a morning invoice and came late. So he was told that today you will not get breakfast prasad. And that day chow ming was made. For boys to sacrifice chow ming, you know, they can sacrifice big kingdoms also. But giving up chow ming is a... But then the boy was given one thread of a chow ming. Only this much will be allowed to you. Anyway, when the matter came to me, I was shocked. So this is a misrepresentation of a superior. Correct, no? Correct, no? So we cannot do that. So because we have no punishment that when you come late in the morning, you cannot eat. Eating, we never give any punishment. Only you try some Mahamantra or something like that. Correct, no? So... then what happens, his name will be spoiled, that manager's name, and my name will be spoiled also, whoever is senior, correct, no? Similarly, he is using Krishna's name, Krishna Gate Bhagavati, he is saying. But he is, so this is what is the meaning of taking the place of Lord Krishna and giving punishment, which actually is not pleasing to Krishna. He is doing something on his own, independently. But whenever people want to whimsically do, generally what they will do, they will quote somebody's name. Krishna Swaran Prabhu, when he came to Pune, he was telling, I have one big headache, he said. My headache is many boys go here and there and they take my name and they do what they want to do. And he said, when I come to know, people call me and ask me, I lament. Similarly, I have told all the managers in Pune also, if anybody takes my name, don't believe in them unless I send you email. Like somebody says, Prabhuji, Rajampu has told me to stay in the VTA. If somebody says, I have told the managers, unless I write mail to you, don't allow someone to stay. I told. Why? Because why people use my name? Tell me. Why? Easy. See, Prabhuji ne bol diya na, chega chega. They will do like that. So, people can misuse Krishna's name, Guru's name, Prabhupada's name. superior's name, you can misuse, use the name. That means we take their position and say something which they don't want to say. Correct, no? Yeah. That is unacceptable. See the next theme, 13th theme, read it.
The same person should say the proud man from committing a great mistake
that will cause him, harm to many. Yeah, that is said in that, see, Prabhupada says in the purport, any sane man would have prevented him from doing such great harm to all human society. When Sringi was showing his impudency amongst his playmates who were innocent, by killing a Maharaj, a king like Maharaj Parikshit, he was doing a great mistake. That means, whenever you see somebody committing mistakes like this, what you should do? You should save a proud man by stopping him. And actually, now the father is going to deal with the son a little strongly now. It's coming. That section is coming now. So, in case we find somebody blaspheming a devotee or somebody criticizing unnecessarily about somebody without knowing complete information, we cannot accept it. We have to protest. We have to tell them that, oh, what you are saying is unreasonable. Everybody has a good side and bad side. You know, this is his good side. Maybe some bad side. And the bad side, what is the use of our talking? You know, his superiors will deal with it. So that kind of stand one should take. But unfortunately, Sringi's boys, they were simple fellows. None of them were intelligent enough to correct him. They were also nodding their head, okay, what you are saying is wonderful. What is saying? Read further. 41, where were we? Oh, sorry, 40, translation.
Did you explain the son, ask his son why he was crying, whether anyone had done him harm? On hearing this, son explained to him what had happened.
Yeah, some more themes are there. See, 37 theme I have written. Read it, theme.
Identify the root cause of failure of any system and set it right, rather than condemning and eliminating the system itself.
Yeah, Prabhupada says that in the last few lines of the purport, Prabhupada says, the whole scientific system of order and society has assumed a vitiated caste system, which is now being uprooted by another class of men who are also similarly influenced by the age of Kali. Prabhupada is saying, that means Varnashrama is pure system, but that got some problem because of proud Brahmanas. Now another group of people have come who are saying, let us make a classless society. Let everyone be treated equally. So what they did, those who are forward caste, for them give less seats. Those who are, for example, if you are in Dalit category or in Shudra category or in a lower category, Harijan category, in gate exam, even if you get 25%, you will be given IIT. Correct? No? On the other hand, if you are Brahmana, even if you get 98 or 99 also, you don't get into IIT. They made a system like that. Why? To favor the downtrodden. Correct, no? With that they started. And they said, let us make the society equal. No? Let us make it flat. All this Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, differences will not be seen. So Prabhupada says, this is also another system influenced by Kali. He is saying, one should see to the root cause of vitiation and not try to condemn the system as it is without knowledge of its scientific value. For example, if somebody got a cataract in the eye, you should go to a doctor and remove the cataract, not pluck out the eye only. Like that he is saying, if Varnashrama has some problem, you cure the ills of Varnashrama and set it right. Like for example, you will see many of the chartered accountants who are working for Prime Minister of India, President of India, or those who are working for the Chief Ministers, if you see, they all, most of them are Brahminical, you will see. They are working, assisting them. And you will find similarly the Marwadis, Maheshwaris, and Sindhis, they all will be in which class? Vaishya class. It's very natural for them. And it is not only the generation after generation they will do that. Now you make a classless society and tell all these Marwadis and this, and all of them, everybody should do the Brahmana's job. Is it possible? So they are trying to create an artificial equality, Prabhupada is saying. You should allow people to work according to their propensity. I think we have run out of time, I think. Where is Ashwin? You didn't tell me. What time we are supposed to stop? Yeah, it's already 12:30 crossed. Huh? You are awake now? Yeah. So we are supposed to finish this chapter. Huh? My Lord, where is it? It keeps going. Okay. After 50 it is there. Okay. Okay. Just see only the theme. Don't commit blunders and repent too late. Be alert always, I have written. That is about... this is for Shringi, it is. Yeah. Yeah. And then, see, 40 we have already come, I think. Correct? No, 40 we have come. Yeah, this is the 140. Making mole into a mountain due to pride of... Actually, this is... What the father, now the father what he is speaking is very important. I will not cover it now. We will come back and then we will cover it, because the father will say something very, very amazing. Samik Rishi, very, very, and then there is one important verse, Tiraskrita Abhipralabdha, that verse also, yeah. So how many more themes are there in this chapter? 24 are there and we have finished. 16 we have finished. So, 16, another 8 themes are there, we will... But these 8 themes are small, small themes only. They are not very big, because we are coming towards the end of the chapter. And 19 chapters, how many themes I told you? You don't know? 19 chapters. That is only 9 themes only, yeah. Okay. I think we will successfully complete, I think, today. Shri Prabhupada ki, Antaraksha Mad Bhagavatam ki, yeah.